Gratitude is the attitude. Hallelujah. We're going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and begin with verse 14 again today. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? Who's you? That's you and me, isn't it? That's a powerful verse. Powerful verse. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. Jesus, we adore you today. We thank you for your spirit in this room that's been moving, working, and speaking in us and through us, Lord. And now we thank you for the word of God that's already inspired. And now, God, anoint as we preach the word today. And we ask that you just accomplish, God, in our lives what we need. We give this time to you, and we thank you for your word that will never change, but the word that continues to change us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you. Gratitude is the attitude. This is message 2 in the series leading up to Thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 is God's commands for every Christian. Verse 14 tells us that all Christians have 4 ongoing responsibilities to one another. And I want to read verse 14 again. We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. That's your responsibility. That's my responsibility as a believer. The majority of us raised our hand earlier that, yes, I know I'm saved. So verse 14 is part of our responsibility to the body of Christ. Verses 15 through 22 are the positive steps we're to take, making us able to do or live out verse 14. And then we get to verse 23 and 24. Those verses reveal God's promise of peace and his commitment to set us apart for himself. Also, verse 23 and 24 reveals God's commitment to our spiritual well-being. So if anybody is committed to you becoming like Christ, if anyone's committed to you being changed to become like God himself, if anyone's committed to you taking this word and totally revolutionizing your life, it's God. And he's shown his commitment to you and I by sending Jesus to die for us and to rise again. Last time we got through verse 17, and we talked about rejoicing evermore. And we took a little bit of time during the message just to stop and do that, to rejoice and to give thanks to God. Gratitude is the attitude. Now, how many of us know gratitude should be the attitude of every Christian all year long? Not just at Thanksgiving, not just in Christmas. In the book Inspired Faith by Mark Gilroy, he wrote the following sentence. The one place where the seeds of discouragement cannot grow is in the heart of a thankful person. So how full is your glass as far as thankfulness is concerned? Discouragement that cannot grow and take root when you're thankful. Amen? We need to be thankful every day, all the time. The word thanksgiving, one of the definitions is the act of giving thanks to God. He deserves our thanks how often? Every day, all the time, as often as we can thank him. The word gratitude means, one of the definitions is thankfulness and gratefulness. How many of you are grateful for God? How many of you are thankful that he sent Jesus to save you and to turn your life around? How many of you here are glad that you're on a brand new path and it's a whole lot better than where you came from? Hallelujah. Gratitude. We need to live with that grateful spirit. And to hear some of your stories about drugs or alcohol or different things in your life in the past or hardship that you've gone through. And I've heard some of your stories of how Jesus has changed your life and you're a brand new person. How many of you know he's still changing people today? Now, what steps can we take that will help us to be thankful and give thanks every day? And I know some of the first things we mentioned is prayer and study the Word. And yes, we need to do that, attending church. But I want to approach it a little differently based on these scriptures today. Again, what steps can we take that will help us to be thankful and give thanks to God every day? Number one is this. We must maintain a constant attitude of being in God's presence. Wow. We know that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere, isn't He? He is everywhere. Isn't it strange that sometimes we try to hide our sin from God and He already knows? But you knowing God is everywhere is not enough. You must know that God is with you. Verse 17 said, pray without ceasing. This is not a command about speaking non-stop prayers. He's not talking about everywhere we go, we're praying out loud and talking to God. When he says praying without ceasing. It's about the attitude of prayer and reverence before God. This means that at any time, day or night, you can talk to God. How many of you needed to talk to him in the nighttime? Amen. Have you ever cried out to him when you couldn't get a hold of anybody else? See, as a believer, we're to live in the awareness of the presence of God. This command to pray without ceasing means you can pray often and that you can pray about anything and everything. It means that you can praise and give thanks at any moment. You don't have to be in church to pray, and you don't have to be in church to praise the Lord. Can you say amen to that this morning? Isn't it wonderful that you can find yourself sometimes driving the car, tears rolling down your cheeks, worshiping Jesus? Just keep your eyes open while you do it. Pray without ceasing. The command to pray without ceasing means you can pray often. Living in the presence of God means you will never be alone. Because God is with you. God is personally there with you. Whether you pray or not, but especially when you pray. So when he says pray without ceasing, it's more than just kneeling. It's more than just uttering a prayer. It's realizing that at every moment, God is there. Jesus even said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And through the Spirit of the Lord today, so every day, 24 hours a day, you can pray at any moment. You can talk to God at any moment because He's there. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, means it has a lot of power. If you read it in the NLT, it says, the earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and produces wonderful results. How many of you have learned how prayer works? God gave us that privilege and that opportunity to pray. But it's not just praying when we come to church. It's not just praying a special prayer emphasis. It's every day, 24 hours a day. When he says pray without ceasing, he's saying, listen, at any moment you're ready to pray, I'm there. God is not in outer space somewhere waiting for you to call on him. Aren't you glad he doesn't need a spaceship? Neither is he out there somewhere trying to find you. He knows where you are. He knows where you live. He knows what we go through. He knows what you're going through. He knows where you've been, and he really knows where you're going. Dear Lord, I love the song, He is the air I breathe. His holy presence living in me. What an awesome thought that God, the creator of the universe, lives inside of me. How close is God? Matter of fact, just take your hand and kind of put it up here like this and just breathe out on your hand. Now breathe back in. That's how close God is. Pray without ceasing. This is a command. He's really saying, listen, you need to be aware that as my child, everywhere you go, I'm there. And when you open your mouth, I'm ready. We need to live in the awareness of the presence of God when we go to the grocery store, when we're playing ball, whatever we're doing, because we know Him and are walking with Him. His presence is right there, not just in us and around us, but everywhere. He is there, but especially when we're His child. Pray without ceasing. Are you aware that the presence of God is with you? It's not just church. But you know what? He's with His church. And His church is me. And His church is you. Wow. Verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. He says, this is the will of God in Jesus for you. I've been in a lot of circumstances. It wasn't too easy to be thankful. Anybody else? Have you ever had to muster up some muster? Anybody ever had to kind of stir yourself up to be thankful when you're going through something? You were inside, but you had a hard time expressing it. A thankful spirit does not come naturally to most of us. Anybody know a Christian who used to be grumpy? Anybody here used to be a Christian who complained all the time? Don't raise your hand. Our human nature is not always a nature that gives thanks or expresses appreciation. It doesn't always come naturally to us. Giving thanks pushes us beyond our natural abilities when life is difficult. Giving thanks pushes us beyond our abilities when it's painful. Visited Brandon the other day, and by the way, he's back in the hospital. I want to pray for him this morning. And he said when he went, rolled him out to go to have surgery on his head, that he had his hands up in the air thanking the Lord, because he knew that God was there and that God was with him. In a difficult time going through a brain surgery like that, yet he knew God was there. Giving thanks in all circumstances is a command from God's word. He's not saying, if you will, would you please thank me? He's saying, give thanks in all circumstances. This is a command from God. And if He commands us something, He gives us the ability to do that. You and I can give thanks in all things, not because circumstances are good, not because we're not going through hardship or pain, but it's because of God's grace, with His power and ability working in us, that makes that possible. Knowing Jesus and serving the Lord isn't about praying a prayer somewhere 10, 20, 30 years ago, or even 5 days ago or 10 days ago, and that's it. Praying a prayer, it means to receive Jesus and know that God is with you, and in every circumstances, God will work for your good and mine. And I think I quoted Romans 8:28 recently. If we know all things work to good to those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And when we know that and really believe that, we can be thankful. So He's commanding us to be thankful no matter what. But again, He helps us to do that. In our flesh nature, we can't do that. Also, could it be that the command to give thanks in all circumstances is strengthened in our lives when we reach out to bless others? Is it possible that God will work and help you when you help somebody else? There's a short story. It's titled, There's Always Room at the Table, by Dave Isay. He titled it, Ties That Bind. It was published in Reader's Digest and magazine in November 2013. In 1985, Scott McCauley was 24 years old. His parents had just gotten a divorce. The adjustment was hard enough in and of itself, but it became more pronounced as Thanksgiving rolled around. What's going to happen at Thanksgiving? I just did not like the thought of being home alone or anywhere alone on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not about gifts or fireworks or hoopla. It's a meal around a table where you give thanks for the blessings you have, and you really can't do that by yourself and have much fun. So Scott found a creative way to fill his home and his life with gratitude. I decided to put an ad in the local paper. If people thought they would find themselves alone, they could give me a call, and I would make Thanksgiving dinner. The first year, only a few people showed up, but McCauley was committed to to the Thanksgiving. I've held the dinner every year since. Thanksgiving, last Thanksgiving, 84 people showed up. This year, 2014, he celebrated his 29th Thanksgiving meal. For 29 years, he continued that. For Macaulay, he says, there's always room at the table. The Lord longs to gather. Here's the application. The Lord longs to gather everyone to his table of thanksgiving. So he sends us out to invite the whole world to come. Not for a day, but for eternity. There's always room at his table. So his master said, go into the country lanes, behind the hedges, and urge anyone you find to come, so that the house will be filled. How full is your glass? Attitude of gratitude. Can we give thanks to God in all things? Turn to the person beside you and say, yes, I can. Somehow we must maintain a constant attitude of being in his presence. Now, there's other steps that we can take, that we need to take, that will help us to be thankful and give God thanks every day. Second one is this. We must take personal responsibility for our own spiritual lives. I can preach it, teach it, live the life before you to the best of my ability, but you are responsible for you. Each of us must take responsibility for our own spiritual life. And here's what he said in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Wow. He says, don't put out the spirit's fire. There are some people that are literally afraid of the moving of the Holy Spirit because they're afraid they'll have to give up something. Amen? Don't put out the Spirit's fire. This can happen to any of us when we allow our thoughts and actions to be contrary to the character of God. We can stifle the Spirit of God when we reject him. We stifle the Spirit of God when we ignore his convicting power. We dampen the Spirit's influence in our lives when we doubt and when we live with anger. We dampen his Spirit when we begin to get into living an immoral life. He says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. The Holy Spirit is God, and he cannot be done away with. He'll always be. But he can be grieved. And he can be suppressed. Especially when the fruit of the Spirit is not being cultivated in our life, and such as love, joy, and peace, and there's others. So we can grieve the Holy Spirit. It's not just about not obeying him in a church service when he's wanting to use us in a special way, but he's really talking about an everyday life. There are also some people in churches who are afraid for the Spirit to move because or work because they're concerned that things will get out of control. And sometimes you will have a little wildfire. I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire. But I don't want everything to go wild, do you? So for some, nothing too spiritual is permitted. Just don't clap your hands and raise your hands. Don't say amen out loud. Some are afraid of how they'll act if they let God move in their lives. I want to remind you today, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman and he will never embarrass you. Like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Listen, don't try to figure everything out on your own. I've learned I can't figure God out. I can't figure all of his ways. I'm learning his ways. Anyone else? But don't try to figure everything out. Just allow the Lord to work in your life. Because when you and I allow him to work, it's always for our good. He never works to hurt us or harm us. He always has good intentions toward us. And he has a future already planned for us if we will just allow him to work. And by the way, if anybody knows how to direct your life, the Lord does. All of our plans should be submitted to Him. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Let the Holy Spirit continue to work. Zechariah 4:6 says, he was speaking to Zerubbabel. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but what? But by my Spirit, saith the Lord. How many of you know we need the Holy Spirit working in our lives? Every one of us. How many of you know we need His Spirit working and moving in every church service we come together? And even in our own devotions, we need the Spirit at work in our lives while we work, while we play, while we pray. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Flame the Spirit's fire and His power through total surrender to Jesus. You want to fan the flame? Then totally surrender. Just say yes to Jesus every day. Every day. Fan the flame of the Spirit by receiving His word. That leads us to the next thing He said. And this is really still talking about how we prepare ourselves to live out verse 14. And to do what we're supposed to do. And how to be thankful. And He's saying, now, despise not prophesying. That word despise is the same Greek word for the word contempt. And it means to act as if the thing in question means nothing. So when He says, despise not prophesying, don't act as if the message preached, taught, or read means nothing. We don't go to church just so we can say we did what we ought to do. Do we? No. In our spiritual lives as well as in public worship services, God's word must hold a place of value. This is the book for the assemblies of God. And this is the book for the Baptist. Come on. This is the book that just about all the main denominations, this is how they got their start. If we started with this, we need to finish with this. We need to apply it to our lives. We need not be ashamed. We need to stand up for Jesus, witness at every opportunity, and not be afraid to tell somebody, did you know Jesus loves you and He died for you and He has a plan for your life? Listen, this is how we pattern our lives right here, Baptist, Methodist. This is where we're supposed to be. This book must have value in your life. Whether a message preached, a message in tongues and interpretation, or any other way that God speaks, we must never treat what is being spoken as if it's not for us. Boy, I wish so-and-so had been here this morning. Brother Bracken really preached a message they needed to hear. I've had people come to my mind when I was preaching, preparing a message, and I was thinking, now, Lord, I know that's going to touch so-and-so. God, thank you, because I know it. And the picture would come in my mind and their name. And I'd go to church to preach it and they wouldn't even be there that Sunday. Listen, we can be thankful when we know without a doubt that God still speaks. And we need to cherish His word. Whether being preached, taught, read, we need to cherish His word. Despise not prophesying. Another step that helps to develop a spirit of thanksgiving is for us to test everything. That doesn't mean you go around suspicious of everybody. Okay? He says, test everything in verse 21. He says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Compare what you read here and what you are taught to the Scripture. If it doesn't line up with the book, then don't accept it. Amen? God's word is the lens we look through to get His perspective. It's not important that I develop my own opinion. It's important that you and I find what God's opinion is. Because if we're really hearing from the Lord, we'll come up with the same thing. Say amen again because it's true, would you? Hallelujah. Test everything. Did you know all the good has its origin in God? Evil is a distortion of the good. Satan wants to take the good and twist it and mess it up. Evil is twisted and it distorts and it's destructive. But God's word changes our lives for the better. I've been changed. How about you? If you know you've been changed, raise your hand real high. But how many of you also know he's not through changing you? Tell the person beside you, you've not arrived, and neither have I. God's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. God's still working on me. After 52 years of being a Christian, God's still working on me. He's not finished with me. He's not finished with you. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why we need the word of God, so God can help us get our thinking straight, change us from the inside out. Psalms 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. So when he says test everything, this is how we test it, is by the word of God. That's why we've got to get as much of it inside of us as we can. So if we hear somebody saying something, witnessing, speaking, teaching, and it just doesn't sound right, let's compare it to the word, brothers and sisters. Let's test it based on the word of God, and let's see if it's so or not. I've heard some things I wasn't too sure about, and when I got to studying, they were right and I was wrong. God's word's always right. Now, when you know what God says, you'll know what you should say. See? It's all right as a believer to say what God says. Come on, are you with me today? God still speaks today, doesn't he? And then another thing that helps us to develop this life of thanksgiving is, he says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Stay away from anything that even sounds or looks like it may lead to sin or evil. Abstain from the very appearance. Yeah, but Brother Bracken, one time won't hurt. Are you willing to take the chance? Are you willing to hurt the testimony of Christ that's in your life? Yeah, but one time of doing it, I can get away with it. Nobody will know. He's everywhere. Right? Abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain means refuse to be involved. If we know that it's not of God, if we know that it's going to hurt our testimony, if we know it's going to be against what God teaches and us in his word, then what do we need to do? We need to leave it alone. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. Yeah, but Brother Bracken, I was there, but I didn't do anything. No, but you were there. Am I telling you the truth today? If I put myself in certain places and you find out I've been there, there'll be a church meeting called. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. Refuse to get involved. Being grateful and giving thanks to the Lord is not just what we do. It's a part of who we are. As a Christian, our DNA has changed. Our DNA has changed. The divine nature and attributes of God adds new dimensions to our lives. Divine nature and attributes of God, DNA, add new dimensions. I've been changed. Have you been changed? I've been changed. We sing a song that says that, doesn't it? And I won't go back. Can't go. Well, you can go back, but I don't want to go back to the way I used to be before he found me. Doesn't it feel good to be changed? How many of you are glad you're changed? How many know Jesus loves you enough to, he won't leave you like you are? He's still working on you, working on me. When you take God's command seriously, he will seriously take care of you. The third thing is, God sets the believer apart for himself. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and 24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. He sang a song about God being faithful. The God of peace will give you peace. The God of peace will give you peace. Isaiah 26, 3 in the NIV or in the King James Version. You shall weep in perfect peace. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. He will keep us in peace. Have you ever been amazed at the peace you have in the midst of difficulty? Anybody ever just said, wait a minute. Have you ever thought, just got to thinking about situations, wait a minute, I should be crying. When I used to worry over this. Lord, something wrong with me? No, something's right with you. There's times I've gone to grandparents' funerals and different kind of things, that parents and relatives I've been really close to, and felt like, Lord, I ought to be weeping and crying. What's wrong with me? But the more I thought about it, no, I shouldn't be weeping and crying. Jesus lives inside of me. He's changed me. I'm not the same. We still hurt and we still grieve, don't we? But at the same time, listen, he gives us peace that we don't know how to explain. All we know that it's real, it's real, it's real. He'll keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Now, God will set you apart in his kingdom when you are his through Jesus. Think about God, the creator of the universe. He created everything. And he says, Jason, I choose you. And Jason surrenders his life. He said, okay. And he picks him up and he sets him down over here as his. Doesn't it feel good to be his? He sets us apart from sin and apart for himself. He says, we're no longer our own. We've been bought with a price. Colossians 1:13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Do you remember? Used to be in darkness. Now we're living in light. We're in a different kingdom. We didn't just pray a prayer. He translated us. We've been placed in a place in God where now he takes care of us. Philippians 2, verse 14. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like the universe. Wow. Don't complain. Don't be critical. Can't be thankful and critical at the same time. The one who called us is faithful. Isn't he? God's faithful to keep us. He's faithful to take care of us. It's God's will that you be thankful in every circumstance, that we be thankful. And the only way that has worked for me is when I keep him in the center of my life. And when I trust him. And sometimes when I get real busy and I'm dealing with a hardship, there's just that awareness of his presence that helps me make it through. There's nothing like knowing Jesus. And there's nothing like the peace that he gives. It's God's will that you be thankful in every circumstances, every circumstance. You can maintain a constant attitude of being in God's presence. Has anybody ever prayed in your car? You ever prayed at work, behind your desk? How many of you prayed just about everywhere you can think of? I've even prayed in the bathroom. Anybody else? The one who called you is faithful. God is faithful. And he'll always be faithful to you. Take personal responsibility for your spiritual life. God's given us leadership to preach and to teach and to invest in you. It's up to each one of us whether we receive that or not. Take responsibility for your own spiritual life. Allow the Holy Spirit to continue working in you. But Brother Bracken, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how I failed. I don't need to know all that. He knows all of that. Gratitude is the attitude. Gratitude is the attitude. I sure don't like being around grumpy Christians. Do you? That's an oxymoron, isn't it? Gratitude is the attitude. When living in the will of God, you can live a life of thanksgiving. Say, how full is your glass with thankfulness today? Hallelujah. Will you stand with me? I usually don't read another illustration at the end, but I'd like to do that today. And I just believe it has value for us this morning. And remember at the end to go by everyone, please, and greet and welcome our members that have come in today. A five-year-old learns what a proposal feels like. The topic is Jesus' love. When a five-year-old is dying of cancer, what can be done to make up for all that she will miss? This was the challenge facing Ryan and Heidi, whose daughter, Lila, was diagnosed with stage 4 of neuroblastoma and is not expected to make it to this Thanksgiving, this coming Thursday. Springing into action, her parents decided they would not allow the cancer to rob their daughter of the important celebrations of life. So they planned a fairy tale ball, which included every major celebration a girl has to look forward to, a prom, a birthday bash, and a wedding. To this end, a large facility was secured and transformed into a prince's castle for that day. Lila arrived on a horse-drawn carriage wearing a custom-made princess gown and tiara. She was received by a large crowd of family and of friends. In a celebration full of meaningful moments, the most important came when her father proposed to her so that she would know what a proposal felt like. Here's the application. My beloved spoke and said to me, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me." Song of Solomon 2:10. With these words, the bride of Solomon was swept away by her bridegroom. As she drank in the significance of each moment of her betrothal, she felt completely covered in the love of her soon-to-be husband. It was a beautiful moment. She exulted, my beloved is mine and I am his. He has brought me to his banquet hall and his banner over me is love. Song of Solomon. That's what Ryan and Heidi wanted for their daughter. And by the way, that's her in the picture. They wanted her to know what it's like to be the object of absolute devotion. They wanted her to know what it's like to be promised unending love. They wanted her to know what it's like to belong to the love of another. And so Father proposed to her in a beautiful banquet hall. They didn't want their daughter to depart from this world without knowing what a proposal felt like. What a blessed little girl to have parents that love her and know how to communicate that love. As we reflect on the purpose of Christ's coming and his sacrifice, we are likewise blessed to know that we have a God who loves us and knows how to communicate that love. Jesus went to the cross because he wanted you to know that what it's like to be the objects of absolute devotion. He rose from the grave because he wanted you to know what it's like to be promised unending love. He did all of this so no matter what circumstances you might face, you could still know what it's like to belong to the love of another. Jesus doesn't want you to depart from this world without knowing what a proposal feels like. Isn't that powerful? True story. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for your love for us. We hear the story of this father and child. Lord, we also know the story of your love for us. Unending love. Lord, if anything, you came that we might know you love us and that you forgive us. What a thrill to know that we have your undivided attention and that your love is focused on each and every one of us, no matter who we are. It's good to know, God, no matter what our background, when you died on the cross, you were looking all the way down to 2015 and looking at us. Dear God, what love. Thank you, Jesus, for that love, for the offer of life eternal. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us to have no doubt that we are loved by you. And as we close today, would you just keep your eyes closed and let's pray? If you're here today, say, Pastor Bracken, I know Jesus loves me, but I've not really surrendered to him as I should. And I really want to surrender everything to him this morning. I know he died for me. His love is unending and he'll always care. But I know that I need to just love him back by giving him myself. And if there's anyone in the house that wants to do that right now, just put your hand up and right back down, please. You don't know Jesus as your Savior, but today you want to take that step in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for your word taking root in every heart. And Lord, we thank you that in every circumstance we can give thanks. Lord, we can. God, I thank you for us being determined to enjoy our relationship with you and to be thankful no matter what. Father, bless this congregation. God, give a wonderful day. As we move toward Thanksgiving Day, help us to realize Thanksgiving is every day. In Jesus' name, thank you for your love. Amen and amen.